Do the difficult things while they are easy, and do the great things while they are small. A journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step. Lao Tzu.
And I wave and, hey, I just hiking through, and kind of got some weird looks from a couple guys walking by with guns at, 7 p.m. and it's dark out. And then kept going down this gravel road that the trail was. And then there was a couple trucks pulled over, and another 7 or 8 people with their guns ready to go out on this pig hunt at night. And again, just kind of waved and kept going. And then looked at my map and realized I was not on the trail. And the trail had gone off the road back before I had crossed those people. So I decided I didn't want to walk back through and say hi again to those people. So it looked like I wasn't that far from the trail. So I tried to just bushwhack and get back to the actual trail. And I got to where I couldn't stand up straight. I was on my stomach crawling through this brush. And so I couldn't turn and go back because I didn't know what direction the road had been.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freaking Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the Trail Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute to help us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right, let's get to this week's guest. I am excited to welcome back to the John Freakin' Muir Pod a guest from season 2 who's been up to some pretty remarkable things recently, Carl Stanfield. How's it going out there, Carl?
Hey, it's going good, Doc. Just hanging out here on the outskirts of Glacier National Park on the CDT.
Very good. Now, just judging from your appearance, you're looking a little scruffy there. So I'm imagining you've been out for a little bit.
I have been. Yeah. Today is day 238 of this trip. That would be the last time that I was clean shaven.
Day number 238. We're just going to leave it out there as a teaser. We'll get into the details of what you've been up to and what you're doing out there. But day 238, that should give our listeners a clue that it is some serious business.
Yeah, it's been a trip this year.
All right. Hey, it is great. I can't wait to catch up with you and hear everything you've been up to. But let's just give our listeners a little reminder about your trail name. What do you go by out there on the trail?
Yeah, out here I go by Professor, or just Prof for short. We like to keep it with the one syllable.
That's right. You know, in times of emergency, a one syllable trail name could be very handy.
That's right. Yep. That's where we keep it.
And how did you pick up the label of Prof?
Yeah, I got it from being the logistics guy, my first trail family, always having the plan. So like day 5 on my first AT through hike in 2018, my friends caught up and they said, hey, we're trying to figure out, where we're going to take our next year a day. And then Phil here said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just ask the professor when we see him. So Professor it is.
And from that point, a legend was born.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, not only have you been a guest on the podcast, you've listened to some episodes. We were talking right before we came on air, and you had listened just recently. So you're familiar with the format. You know that towards the end of the segment, end of the episode, we've got a segment called the Pro Tip Inside of the Week. I can't wait to hear what bit of trail wisdom you can drop on our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. So be ready for that.
Great. Yeah. Can't wait to come up with it.
Okay. Now, it's been a while since we talked to you. It was back in season 2. I think it was a bonus episode around the episode 14 or so. And so we're now in season 4. We're closing in on 200 episodes total for the podcast. So it's been a bit. It's been a little while, and I can't wait to hear how things may have adjusted or changed in terms of your answers from last time to this time. So
the must bring gear review.
We've been doing the must bring gear review sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company, Six Moon Designs. And here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Prof, what's your must bring piece of gear? What do you have to have with you out there?
Yeah, great. This has definitely changed since last time. I thought of a few things that would be different. But I'm going to go with my new favorite hiking shirt. I got my Jolly Gear Triple Crown button down shirt. So nice. It's a sun hoodie. It's got thumb holes to put your thumbs through. It's a button down shirt. And mine's lasted almost 6,000 miles now, and it's still in good shape. So it'll take a good beating. They come in fun colors. It's awesome. Yeah, it's my uniform I've been proud to wear this year.
Nice. Now, what was that brand again?
It's by Jolly Gear. And the name of the shirt is called the Triple Crown Button Down.
Okay. That's very appropriate for you.
Yeah. That's perfect.
You know, I discovered sun hoodies last summer. They seem to be all the rage, something new had taken off last season. And they are awesome. Summer of 2021 is when I discovered the sun hoodie, and I have not looked back.
Yeah. When I did the PCT in 2019, they weren't on my radar. I had a big floppy hat and everything, but I'm all about them now.
Nice. Now, what does your gear look like out there after 238 days? How big is your pack? What's your base weight? What kinds of items are you carrying?
Yeah, right now I'm rocking a base weight right around 9 pounds. I've got a sweet pack that Light AF made for me. That doesn't have a hip belt. It's got nice wide shoulder straps on it. I got a Z-Pax tent. I got my my inflatable Therm-a-Rest. I got a katabatic quilt. So I've still got I still got a stove. So I'm still cooking out here. So I've got a relatively comfortable kit. Nice and light. There's definitely lighter out there, but I like my balance of comfort and having a light pack.
Now, you're doing some crazy things out there, but I am so glad to hear that you still have a stove. You have not gone that far crazy yet.
Not yet. No, I've come close. I don't cook every night, but I got the stove ready.
Nice.
It's the hiking poll.
Okay, that's Half Calf telling us it's time for the hiking poll, and that is POLL, like a survey, not like the kind of sticks you hold in your hand while you're hiking out there. This is a 7-question survey that will help me determine your level of sanity. And so after asking you these 7 questions, I'm going to rank you on a scale from 1 to 100, with 100 being completely sane and 1 being completely insane. And of course, as a long distance through hiker, you already lose 20 points right off the top because it has something to say about your sanity level.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough.
That's a fair statement, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you would think that these might be questions about hiking because it is called the hiking poll. But what I like to do is change it up a little bit, especially with people that I've talked to before. We already know your positions on, you know, hiking poles and life above the tree line and all those good things. So I want to change it up and really wrestle with some big issues that our society is facing.
Great. Yeah. Bring it on. Let's see what we got.
Okay. First question. Question number one, does pineapple belong on pizza? This is one of the big ones here.
I say yes. That's one of my go-to items to put on pizza. I'm a fan.
Okay. You seem to hesitate a little bit there, but you say that is your go-to item.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's not the last few years I haven't been eating meat for a while. My go-to pizza is pineapple, onion, and jalapeno.
Ooh,
so it's a staple good for me. Yeah. A little spicy, a little sweet.
That sounds good. Now, I know I probably don't have to say this, but I'm just going to throw it out there because you hesitated a little bit. I don't want you to give me the answers you think I want to hear or you think our listeners want to hear. I want you to be your own person and just stand firm behind your decisions.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I was always going to be a yes. I was just trying to decide how emphatically the yes was going to be.
Okay. And I know just from our experience with each other before that you are your own man and you will take whatever position you have in your head there. So.
I'll give it to you straight, Doc.
That's right. That's right. All right. Question number two. Do you roll your toilet paper over or under?
Over. Yeah. Over. I was trying to just picture which one that meant, but yeah, it's always over.
Always over. And that's a pretty firm statement as well.
Pretty firm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Are you so committed to that that if you find yourself on the throne in a friend's house or a relative's house and it's done the other way, that you will take the time to correct that situation?
I'll say sometimes, but I do think it's a fair argument that if you have like pets, specifically cats, that go in the other way, like my sister's cat will like tear it up if it goes over. So they have to go the other way. So I understand there are exceptions, but if there's no animals in the house, I'm flipping it.
Okay. Nice. Are there exceptions to every rule? This is not a question on the hiking pole, but this is just a corollary that I like to follow up on if I hear something interesting. Is there an exception to every rule?
I believe so. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think we can live in a black and white world. I think the world is gray, so there's always got to be some room one way or the other.
Yep, I'm with you there.
Okay. Now, are you familiar with those little video type pictures that go for a short duration? They're spelled GIF.
Yes. Yep.
How do you pronounce that?
That would be a GIF. Like a gift without the T.
Okay, that makes sense. That's a good example. That's a good rationale right there too.
I think so too. Yeah.
Okay. Moving right along here in the hiking pole, cats or dogs?
Oh man, I'm going to lose points on this one, but I think I might actually be a cat person.
Oh, really?
I know it's unpopular, but I'm going to stand by it. I love dogs. I like being a dog uncle, but man, I've just seen like a lot of my friends and family get a dog and then just lose so much freedom as they're taking care of that dog. I know it's great. It's a great investment, but I like the freedom that cats tend to still allow you. I don't have either right now, but, yeah, I think I love both, but I think I go cat.
Okay. And did you grow up with either one of those?
Yeah, both cats more often than dogs. I don't think there was ever a time from the time I was born through high school that we didn't have cats. And we didn't get dogs until I was a little bit older.
Mm-hmm. And do you prefer the cat's virtual indifference to you?
Yeah. But then still occasionally like a sort of a need that they have. I had a cat that like when I lived in Washington for a little bit, she came with the house I moved into because I moved out from the middle of nowhere and we needed one just to take care of the mice. And so this cat, I moved in and this cat owned me and was very possessive of me. And they're just, I don't know. I like their quirks sometimes. A lot of them seem kind of the same and kind of bland, but sometimes you get one that's just like real quirky. And I like that.
You kind of see yourself in that level of quirkiness?
Yeah, we could say that.
All right. Next question. Question number 5. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I think so. I don't think you'd go around asking for a sandwich and get a hot dog and be stoked about it. But I think if you look at the definition, I think it falls under it. Pretty close, but I think I say it is.
This is an issue that people have really strong opinions on one way or the other. You were kind of middle of the road there. You kind of agree that it is a sandwich, but I've heard people that have ready to die on the hill that it is not a sandwich. And when pressed for reasons, you know, it's the type of bread, you know, there's a hinge in it, but you know, you have hoagies and Philly cheesesteaks that also have a hinge. And when confronted with that, then they go with it's a solitary piece of meat in the sandwich, and a sandwich really has more than that, or it's a cylindrical piece of meat that is not found in any other sandwich. So really strong opinions.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got breakfast sandwiches that have like sausage links on them sometimes. That's a sandwich. You got a hamburger. That's a sandwich. It's one piece of meat. I don't know. There's exceptions to everything, Doc.
Love it. Nice. All right. Question 6, Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix. I like YouTube. I think they're both hard to resist and hard to get out of when you get into a loop on them. But I think I'd rather hunker in. Netflix just feels a little bit more like you've got a plan, like you're sitting down to watch something, and then YouTube, you just get lost in short videos forever and don't feel like you really got anywhere. Whereas with Netflix, you at least made progress in a show or something.
Okay. And a corollary question here. When you're on Netflix, do you spend more time scrolling through what to watch or actually watching something?
I think a lot of the time it's a 50-50 split. Yes. But then once I get a show, I'll get all the way into it and binge it really hard. So there might be a few days of just looking for something and not finding much, but then I'll get on a show and then be totally in it.
Nice. And have you, do you, or do you know anybody that has hit the surprise me button on Netflix?
I hit it once and didn't like what it played and have never hit it again.
That solved that problem right there.
Yeah, right. I thought maybe the algorithm would do a little better and it didn't. So I haven't put myself out there since then.
Smart. All right. Question number 7. What is your most useful skill in the case of a zombie apocalypse?
I think just being a thru-hiker, being really comfortable with not very much and being comfortable suffering. I could live on very little for a pretty long time and still be pretty okay with it. So I think my endurance game would be pretty good.
Okay. Comfortable with suffering, endurance. I'd agree with that. That's a good assessment. All right. Let me do some quick math. Find out where you fall here on the sanity scale. I'm going to carry the 2. I'm going to divide by pi. Got to multiply that by √7. And you know what? Let's factor in the air pressure at the top of Mount Katahdin, since you've been there recently. I come up with a solid score of 64.
All right, sure, I'll take that.
So, is that
that's
too high?
Too far away from the maximum? No. I think that's probably about right.
Okay, all right, just the right level of insanity there.
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations. Now, that score can change depending on how the rest of the talk goes tonight, but we'll settle in at 64 for right now.
Okay, cool. That's home base. We'll see where we go.
Home base. All right. Hey, let's back up a little bit. I know the answers to these questions, but let's do a little refresher for our listeners. Where'd you grow up? What kinds of sports and hobbies did you engage in when you were a kid? And how'd you get involved in the thru-hiking cult?
Yes, I grew up in East Tennessee, near Knoxville, a little place called Maryville, Tennessee, that is right next to Smoky Mountains. I grew up playing basketball and soccer a lot. And I really liked summer camp, and I kind of liked it more for just the friends that I made more than the outdoor component of it. But the older I got, the more into the outdoors bit of it that I kind of grew into. And then I went to college thinking I was going to do summer camp stuff and did. There was a major that's called Wilderness Leadership and Experiential Education that I got into at Brevard College near Asheville, North Carolina, and got into that and then really got into backpacking. My first trip was right before college. My dad and I went out to go do a trip in the Smokies, and I've been stoked. I've been collecting gear for years. So this would have been summer of 2011. So I watched what little YouTube stuff there was out there about people going backpacking. And we did this 30-mile trip. It took 3 days and it was so miserable. It was so hard. We had such heavy packs. And I didn't learn until much later that we went from Fontana Dam up to Clingman's Dome. So I learned later that we went up to the highest point on the ET on this trip. The Smokies are no joke. Even going back now, it's not easy hiking. So kind of got the seed planted there and then did a little bit more throughout college. And then I moved up to Washington State after I graduated in 2015 and worked at a camp there and did kind of even more outdoor stuff. And then I was there for 2.5 years and then, just kind of everything. I left everything left me, everything kind of ended at the same time and then fell into the world of thru-hiking in 2018. And then that's kind of where we are now.
Yeah, that is a fantastic synopsis of season 2, bonus episode number 14. You pretty much covered a lot of ground right there in a very, very, very few words. So if you want to get more on the professor's background, tune into season 2, bonus episode number 14 and give it a listen. You skipped over a couple things. One is I love the major. Was it the Willie major?
Yeah, that's right. That's what we call it for short.
Wilderness Leadership and Experiential Education. That had to be one of the coolest majors ever.
It was awesome. Yeah, I couldn't believe it was real when I found it. It was just as fun as you'd think that it would be. We did little skills courses throughout the rest of our college schedule. And then There's this one semester where we did a bunch of stuff and then planned this 21 day trip and then went on it as students. And so I'd already been on a 21 day expedition before I got into thru hiking. And so that set me up so well for doing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you said you played basketball in high school?
Yeah. I started when I was pretty young and I grew super fast. So I hit 6 feet by the time I turned 13. So I learned how to be the big man on the floor and then I stopped growing. So then I only knew how to be the tallest person. And then by the time I was 14, 15, 16, it's not tall enough to be impressive at all. And so faded away and kind of did just more rec league stuff, but still had a lot of fun with it.
Right. How tall did you top out at?
Right at 6 feet. That was it.
Oh, 6 feet. You hit six yeah. feet at 13 and that was the end of the deal right there.
That's it. Yeah. I haven't grown since then.
you peaked. Was that junior high or was that, it had to be junior
yeah,
high. Right?
Seventh grade. Yeah.
Seventh grade. Okay. It was all downhill from there.
Yeah, that's right. Stopped growing tall, started growing facial hair.
To make up for it, to compensate.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Briefly, your AT trip, you did the AT in 2018, you did the PCT in 2019. And, you know, I think we covered this last time. I asked you, well, you know, obviously, what about the CDT? But we've heard already tonight that you are currently on the CDT, but you've done a couple other things previous to getting onto the CDT this year. And we'll save that for the second segment here, but of the AT hike in 2018 and the PCT in 2019, any highlights, remarkable moments of magic out there that you want to share?
Yeah, plenty of great stuff. Something I think I might've left out last time. That was a pretty cool highlight. On the PCT in 2019, we left the Sierras. It was a high snow year. So we didn't leave till June 21st. There's still a lot of snow. There weren't many people out there. And we left and spirits were kind of low and we ran into this guy. This is June 21st. And he said he was out doing a story for Hike Naked Day. And he said he'd been out photographing people and some people were up for it. Some people were already hiking naked and asked if we were interested in it. He dropped that he was working for Outside Magazine. And we kind of looked at each other. We're like, yeah, I guess let's go for it. And so in 2019, I was a nude model for Outside Magazine.
Wow. You include that on your resume these days?
Depends on who I'm giving it to, but sometimes, yeah, it's definitely a bucket list item, right?
That's right. Now, did it actually turn out that he was a photographer, or a reporter for Outside Magazine, or did he just drop that name?
Right. We had a moment where after we finished and he took the pictures and gave us his email and left, kind of looked at each other and said, so we're pretty sure that guy was legit. Right. But then we got to the next town. So we didn't have service for in this year. We got into the next town and sure enough, he sent us the emails and then the article came out. It was online. So it was never in print, unfortunately. There we were on the online magazine or Outside Magazine online.
So would this be July of 2019 if people wanted to search that article online?
Yeah, it's June 21st so I guess it probably would have come out late June or 1st of July. Yeah.
Okay. It was a little bit of unease between you guys when he left and you're wondering, you know, did we just get scammed or was that a real deal?
We were pretty sure. He was pretty like, I don't know. He seemed legit. And fortunately it turned out that he was, I think we probably would have been able to sniff out a fake.
Hopefully that is a great story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I can't believe I missed that one last time. How often do you get to do that in your life?
Mm-hmm. Now you've been out there for 238 days. What did you do prior to day number one to help finance your trip? How are you paying the bills?
Yeah, so after the PCT in 2019, I went back to the small outdoor company I've been working at in Alabama, Alabama Outdoors, and I ended up moving up in the company right at the start of COVID and started managing a store in Birmingham. So I had full-time work throughout all of that period. That was awesome. They kept just managers and operations managers at each store. So I started that job March 11th, and then the stores closed on the 19th. So I got in just in time and was fortunate to have full-time work and got paid pretty well for that. And got to work somewhat in the outdoor industry, got to talk to people about trips on occasion. So I was there from most of 2020 and then most of 2021. So I left in October of last year to have just a couple months to get ready for my trip this year. So a little over a year and a half being with that company.
Okay.
Well, in a full-time position.
Okay. And we're on day 238. You are calling in right now from a hostel up in Glacier.
Yep. I'm in East Glacier. This is Luna's place. And this is honestly one of my favorite hostels I've ever stayed at. She's new to the game. It's this old restaurant, that wasn't working great. Didn't do great in COVID and has become this awesome hub for hikers. She just kind of got tired of working with tourists that were coming through that weren't so polite, and then realized that hikers were super polite and super grateful. And so she seems to be stoked to be doing this. So there's a couple of tiny cabins out here, and then most people just sleep on the floor in this restaurant. We have full use of the commercial kitchen that's back here. It's a sweet spot, and in a really expensive area too. The hotels around here, you know, $200+.
Nice. And you are taking you took a zero today. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. I fell and hurt my hip a little bit yesterday, and I was just heading into the Bob Marshall Wilderness. So there's like kind of one bailout point that's like 90 or 100 miles in. Other than that, just like 150 mile stretch that I was looking at. And I got 4 miles in and fell and got hurt. And I could still walk on it. It didn't feel great. I wasn't stoked about how I was going to feel in the morning, and knew there was this nice place that was close by. I had cell phone service. So I was able to call and get a ride. So it just felt like the smart thing to do. And I can make up for it. Taking a little bit of extra time off. I don't love to do it, but there's still a little bit of room in my time budget for the year. So it's a cozy place, and I got to sit out a thunderstorm last night by getting off trail yesterday. So that always feels pretty good.
Nice. Now, this interview tonight came together pretty quickly, because I think we literally exchanged maybe DMs a couple of days ago.
Yeah. I think you might have messaged me a week or two ago asking to come back, and I said, that's probably not going to be until January.
Right.
And then I think it was yesterday I said, hey, how about tomorrow? And then you were down for it. So that worked out great.
Yeah, and this is fantastic. And you're talking about the time crunch, the time budget. You've been out for 238 days. What is your expected total number of days you're going to be out? Are you hoping for
365 going on the full year?
365. So did you leave on January 1st?
Yeah. I flew down. I started my trip this year in Key West. So I flew down New Year's Eve on December 31st, and I've been hiking since sunrise of January 1st.
Okay. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to leave our listeners with that. You started January 1st in Key West. Now on day 238, you're up in Glacier National Park. And right now they're wondering, okay, what is he doing? What has his path been? And we're going to get to that right after the break. Stay tuned. Be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young.
Welcome back. We are talking to Carl Stanfield, also known as Prof or Professor. And here we are on day 238 of the year, which is also his 238th day hiking this year. And we're going to do the big reveal here. So I think most of you have heard, who are listening, you've heard of the calendar year Triple Crown. You've certainly heard of the Triple Crown. That's when someone hikes all three of the American Long Trails, the AT, the PCT, and the CDT. The calendar year Triple Crown is when you hike all three of those in the same calendar year. And I'm going to call what Prof is doing the calendar Triple Crown with a twist, because he's not just doing those three trails. He added some serious miles. You heard he started in Key West on January 1st. And I believe, Prof, and correct me if I'm wrong and step in here, you went from Key West up to the start of the AT, and then all the way to the Canadian border. And so the usual AT hike is from Springer, Georgia, to Springer Mountain, Georgia, to Mount Katahdin in Maine. And you added distance on either end of that.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, yeah. What are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah. So I got a handful of goals this year. The main goal is getting the record for the most miles traveled in a calendar year on foot. So the most backpacking anyone's ever done in a calendar year. Or I think walking or running for that matter. I'm not positive. With that, I'm trying to do the calendar year Triple Crown. I believe I will also be the first person to walk border to border three times in a calendar year. With the traditional Triple Crown, you do the two, and then with my extension of the Appalachian Trail, I go down to the southern border with Florida, and I guess international waters is the border there, and then Canada on the northern end. I think somebody else has done it within 365 days, has done those three, but I don't think it was a calendar year. I need to look more into that, but I think I'll be the first person to do it between January 1st and December 31st.
Okay. Now, what, to your knowledge, what is the current record for most miles walked in a calendar year?
Yeah, I believe it is held by an Australian guy named Cam Swaminathan, who hiked 10,244 miles in, I believe, 2011.
Okay, and how many miles do you currently have under your feet?
I'm at 5,963 today.
Okay, and how many do you have left? When you hit the Mexican border at the southern terminus of the CDT, how many miles would that put you at?
So that'll put me at about 8,500 for the year. So I so far hiked from Key West to Canada, and then I finished a little bit late and I needed to take some time off. I just, the Northern AT with ice on it and the whites and everything just really beat me down. So I took about 10 days off and then got on the PCT on June 18th at Kennedy Meadows South. So I skipped the 700 miles of the desert and jumped right into the Sierra and did all of the PCT north of that, except for one fire closure. So I've got 800 miles of the PCT left to do. And then I just started the CDT a little over a week ago. So I'll be at maybe finishing the CDT, finishing the PCT will put me at about 9,200, 9,100 miles on the year. And then I'm going to finish up by hiking the mountains to Sea Trail across North Carolina to get the miles that I need by the end of the year.
Okay. And that'll put you close to 11,000 is what you're hoping?
That was the original goal, but with I took some shortcuts in Florida. I ended up just keeping the continuous footpath. So Florida Trail kind of winds a bit. Same with the CDT. So my goal is a continuous footpath from border to border. So that kind of shortens some of these trails. So the original goal was 11,000 miles. Now, more realistically, it's probably somewhere between 10,300 and 10,500.
Okay. Now, I know the burning question that's on everybody's mind is, or at least mine, what is it like hiking from Key West? Take us from Key West to actually, you know, mainland Florida.
Yeah, it's a lot of road walking. You get real friendly with the cars down there. I'd heard people, you know, like Jupiter that have done it and are, you know, great hikers and a lot more bold than I am, are super comfortable and nonchalant about stealth camping and sleeping under bridges by busy highways. And I found out on day one, that's not me. So I had a good budget for this trip. So I shelled out and I stayed in hotels the first few nights I was in the Keys. And so that was kind of, I mean, it was expensive, but it was nice, you know, to have a bed and shower at the end of the day, at the beginning there. And so it was about 3 days to get through the Keys. I had one night I stayed in the driveway of a friend of a friend who wasn't home, but they let me put my tent up. So that was nice. And then I got to mainland, and then from mainland, there's still a little ways to go before you actually get to the Florida Trail proper. So it was about 6 days, 180 or so miles from Key West to get to Southern Terminus of the Florida Trail at the Oasis Visitor Center.
Okay. And did you do any swamp hiking in Florida?
I did a little bit, not as much as I thought. The Florida Trail gets a bad rap for having a lot of really nasty hiking and nasty critters and everything. In total, I did about 15 miles in the swamps. Of the 1,200 I put in Florida, 15 were in swampy conditions. So I was pretty pleased with that. I thought that wasn't too bad. I thought it was going to be a lot gnarlier.
And any gator encounters?
My only encounters with gators were on the road walk on the way to the Florida Trail. I didn't see a single gator on the whole Florida Trail.
Okay, that would be my worst fear. Even I think gators, yeah, over snakes or bears even. Gators have just that, I don't know, reptilian, or I know they're not reptiles, they're amphibians, but just that, you know, cold, you know, just absolutely foreign.
Yeah, they're dinosaurs predator that are out there. Yeah.
Yeah, dinosaurs. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw a couple of them, but not too many. Not too many snakes either, like less than 10 for the whole trail. I saw a handful of bears, and I looked for but never saw any monkeys. Apparently, there's an area where they were filming one of the Tarzan movies in like the 60s or 70s where the monkeys on set got loose and just bred and ended up like it being a great habitat for them. So apparently there's an area in Florida you can hike through where you can hear and see monkeys, but I didn't see any when I went through.
Is that the actual truth or is that a myth?
That's the truth. I had someone tell me that. I thought it was a joke, and then someone else brought it up and I thought, no way. And then looked it up, and sure enough, that's either a lot of people are in on the joke and I'm not, or it's the real deal.
That's wild, because something very similar happened on the West Coast where they filmed a Western on Catalina Island and they brought bison over for the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And right, they decided it was too expensive to bring them back, so they just left them there.
Yeah, and now that's a thing on the Trans Catalina Trail?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wild. All right. Now you mentioned that the last part of the international AT hike was pretty gnarly at that time of the year. What kind of difficulties did you encounter?
Yeah. So, I mean, already the, you know, like New Hampshire and a lot of Maine are pretty tough, pretty scrambly. And I got up there the kind of the middle of May and I found a lot of ice and snow were still up there. I used my micro spikes more than I did on the whole Pacific Crest Trail in that area, going up and over some of those mountains that are already super tough. And then they were covered in ice. So my longest day of hiking this year, time-wise has been about 19 hours and I covered about 21 or 22 miles. Just barely going over a mile an hour through a lot of that stuff, putting on micro spikes, taking them off, post-holing, all that stuff over Mount Moosewalk and the Kinsmans and Wolf Mountain and all that stuff. That was a gnarly day.
And so you started January 1st at Key West. What day did you finish up at the Canadian border?
Yeah, I got there June 7th. So January 1st. Yeah, 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 right. January 1st to March 2nd is when I got to Springer and started the AT. And then hit Katahdin on June 5th and then Canada June 7th.
Okay. And during that time of the year, were there a lot of other people out there? I can't imagine there would be.
I wouldn't think there would be either, but it was interesting. Like the Sobos were just starting out. So in the 100-mile wilderness at the start of the AT, I met the very first Sobos of the year. And then, you know, there are people that were flipping and day hikers that were out, because it was about Memorial Day weekend when I was kind of up in the second half of Maine. And so there were a lot of people out for Memorial Day weekend. It was the first good weather in Maine, so just a lot of day hikers were out in some places. And then I started hitting the Sobos.
Okay. Now, you know, what does it take, in your estimation, to be a thru hiker? I mean, who's able to do this?
I think anybody that really, really wants to and knows what it means to want to. I think it's more mental than anything. Most anybody can walk all day once you do it long enough. Or at least a lot of people can. And so it's just wanting to stay out and wanting to stay after it and having that drive and, just keeping after it for a long time.
And with you being out there at that time of the year and not seeing a whole lot of other people, I mean, how do you pass the time? Are you listening to music? You listening to podcasts? Are you talking to yourself? Are you planning logistics for the rest of the hike? What goes through your mind day after day out there?
Yeah, everything that you just said. Lots of podcasts. I haven't done as much music this year. It's been lots of podcasts, lots of books. And on the AT, I got super lucky. I found a guy early on that had similar mileage goals to me. And from mile about 800 of the AT to 2200, we hiked on and off together. So I had a buddy for a good chunk of it, which was great. And then I also was just super lucky. A lot of people have reached out and wanted to help. So I'd have stayed with a lot of people on the way. So even on days when I've been by myself, I've met up with people at the ends of the day a lot. So I think I'm big on stats and keeping stats, but I think one that I'm most stoked about for this year is that on the first 158 days from Key West to Canada, I slept indoors more nights than outdoors because I was staying with people so often. And so it wasn't necessarily social during the day. I was meeting up with a lot of people and seeing a lot of friends and family and just random thru hikers that were in the area, trail angels. So that really helped keep me going and help keep morale high through those first 5.5 months.
And Prof, taking a look inwards, doing some self-assessment here, are you pretty even keel? Are you pretty steady in terms of your emotions?
Yeah, I'd say so for sure.
Okay. Do you have lows and highs out there? I mean, do you find yourself occasionally getting into some low moments or some really high moments?
Yeah, definitely. I had some good emotional highs. A lot of them people related too. I like finishing the AT, I got more like pretty emotional, and it wasn't necessarily because I was finishing the trail. I was just really bummed that we got up after you climb up and get to the last little stretch before Katahdin, and I was just bummed that I'd finished the last hard bit with my buddy, with Priest Pig. So we had kind of a little love session there and gave each other a hug, and we're, you know, happy we'd gotten to share so much of the trail together and took the last mile to get up there. So the good highs for sure. And then the lows haven't been too bad, or at least it doesn't feel like it. It never does in hindsight, right? Like looking back on it, it never feels like it was that bad, but I think there definitely have been some low lights, but they don't tend to stand out as much as the high ones do.
Okay. Any type 2 adventure out there thus far?
Yeah, for sure. I had one night in Florida, I think was maybe my spookiest moment. I was going through and I learned early on in Florida, I needed to get to camp before dark because I was there in hunting season in Florida. And even though I'm wearing as much orange as I possibly can be, I'm hiking through these back roads and I come across some hunters and it's after dark. And I wave and, hey, I just hiking through, and kind of got some weird looks from a couple guys walking by with guns at, you know, 7 p.m. and it's dark out, and then kept going down this gravel road that the trail was. And then there was a couple trucks pulled over and another 7 or 8 people with their guns ready to go out on this pig hunt at night. And again, just kind of waved and kept going. And then looked at my map and realized I was not on the trail, and the trail had gone off the road back before I had crossed those people. So I decided I didn't want to walk back through and say hi again to those people. So it looked like I wasn't that far from the trail. So I tried to just bushwhack and get back to the actual trail. And I got to where I couldn't stand up straight. I was on my stomach crawling through this brush, and the Far Out app didn't show where the road was. And so I couldn't turn and go back. So I didn't know what direction the road had been. So I kept just having to crawl through and make my way back to the trail. It was probably about 15 minutes, which is both not that long of a time and is also a pretty long time to just be stuck and not be super sure where you are, not know if you can move on, but not want to go back and say hey to the hunters again. But eventually I got there, and it was a huge sigh of relief getting back into the night air and seeing the moon and just trucking on like nothing had happened.
Wow. Now, honest question here. I don't know the answer to this. Do they give hunters, when they give out the hunting licenses, do they make them take a colorblind test?
I don't know. I feel like that as much as they harp on making sure everyone's wearing orange, you would hope that they could see it, right?
Yeah, that would be a recipe for disaster. Just my luck, I'd run into the one hunter who's colorblind out there, and I'm all decked out in orange, and I
yeah, right,
doesn't see it. So, all right. Now, did I catch it right that your friend that you were hiking with, his name was Greased Pig?
That's the man. Yep.
Wow. What do you happen to know the story behind the name?
I do. Yeah, I heard about him my first day when I got to the AT, because I told some people what I was up to, and they said, "Oh, wow, you might be the one that can catch the Greased Pig." And so I've been hearing about him for a long time. So that was day one. And I caught him around mile 800. So it was a long time I'd been hearing about him. And I met him, and I heard of him, and he'd heard of me. We were excited to meet each other. So I thought it was because he was this really fast guy. And he is pretty fast, but he got it because of his lifestyle, because he can't be held down. He's jumping around and doing all kinds of different things. We're about the same age. He's like 5 months older than I am. So he's just working seasonally. The reason that he was going fast and had started early was because he was commuting to the summer camp he was working at in Maine. And so he started in Georgia and walked up to this camp that he was going to work at for the summer. So he had to get there before the season started. So he was trying to get there quickly. And he had just had a lifestyle where he does a bunch of different stuff all the time. So that's the Greased Pig.
The Greased Pig. And can you imagine the owner of the summer camp saying, "Hey, you've got to be here by such and such a date. You need help with plane tickets or anything?" And he goes, "No, I'll leave tomorrow. I'll start walking. I'll see you yeah. in a few months."
Yeah, so he did. February 28th, he took off, and then he kept going too. He went past Katahdin and walked onto property of the camp. So he had his own awesome, and then got greeted by the staff. It was awesome.
Wow. Now, you couldn't convince, well, it sounds like he had work obligations, but you couldn't convince Greased Pig to join you on the rest of your travels?
No, I tried to, but no luck there with this one. But I think he might be going to Colorado later in the year. So I think I might get to see him later on in this trail. But it's funny, I've met friends of his on both the PCT and now also the CDT. So the ghost of him lives on. Just a couple days ago, I met a guy here named Boomerang that he had hiked with on the AT before, and then I'd heard about, and then he ran into me and said, "Hey, you know the Greased Pig?" And so it's been cool. Just, and you know, like any hiker that does a couple of trails, you realize that, like, oh, all these are connected and we have mutual friends, and just the longer you're out here, the more of that kind of thing goes on.
It's a small world, small community.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, when you're in those low moments, how do you get yourself through? What would you say what advice would you give to hikers who are kind of at their lowest point and are considering leaving the trail?
Yeah, I think I've done it long enough. It's a little bit of a cliche, but just this too shall pass. The bad moments always leave. The day always ends with me laying down somewhere relatively comfortable. I carry my stove, so with a hot meal, and it's always going to get better. As much as it sucks and is miserable now, that just continuing to push through and just doing what you can. Hiking through the rain for a day, or sometimes it's 2 or 3 or 4 days, that there's always a light at the end. It's always going to get better eventually. And so just keeping at it, just putting your head down and as some people say, embracing the suck. It's going to pass. The good moments are coming back, and they're going to be that much sweeter because you got through them.
Yeah, Prof, you know, you just mentioned something that I use in my everyday life. I tell myself at various points throughout the day that, hey, don't worry, this day is going to end up with you lying down somewhere. So it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it always does. It never hasn't.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, you went from the Canadian border after the International AT to Kennedy Meadows, you said, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yep. I had a friend meet me in LA and drive me up there.
Okay. And what were some of the highlights from the Sierras and beyond?
Oh, I was stoked. I made a buddy pretty quickly. So I had a friend to hike with for like 2 weeks at Ray Lakes in the Sierras. And so I was out there for a couple of days and I was just blown away. It was really cool because I did it in 19. That was a high snow year. So going back this year, there was not much snow at all. So it was a totally different trail for me.
Right.
So it felt familiar, but was also really different. The people out there were great. It was just cool getting to experience it. Being in a place that was familiar and it being so different than it was the time before.
Yeah. Now I've spent a few summers in the Sierras myself. And so I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite lake in the Sierras? I've got mine. You tell me yours. I'll tell you mine.
Oh man. I'm really bad at names of places and things. There's one that I really like just cause it has significance to me. I don't know the name of it, but it's the one going north on the PCT right after Pinchot Pass. You come down Pinchot and then it's kind of tucked away at the base of the mountain, sort of off to the left as you're coming down on the northern side. It was really pretty. This time we got there in the evening on my first hike. We spent the 4th of July on that lake.
Okay.
I do not know the name of it.
In between Pinchot and Mather?
Yes. It's right out. You can see it from the top of Pinchot after you get up there.
Going northbound.
Going northbound.
I'll do some research on that.
Yeah. So that's the description. Like I said, I can't tell you the name of it.
Okay. My favorite is Wanda. I love Wanda Lake. I think it's pretty cool that Muir Pass, you have Muir Hut, and then on either side of the pass, you have a lake named after one of his daughters. And Wanda Lake just happens to be, I don't know, kind of iconic in my mind. It was one of the first great campsites we had on our 2015 trip. So that's just kind of stuck with me.
Oh, cool. Is that going north? Is that north or south of the pass?
It's north of the pass.
North. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I know which one it is. Cool.
Yeah. All right. Now, do you have a favorite campsite in the Sierras?
Yeah, I had one this time. It is just a random stealth spot. I was with Boogie. She was my hiking partner for this section. And she was just so stoked. She wanted to sleep on just a big flat rock at some point. And so we got one night. We got in late. It was after dark. This was 15 or 20 miles south of Tuolumne Meadows. And so there was just this big, flat, expansive rock we laid out. And it was one of the best nights of stars I've ever seen. We had just like a great view of the Milky Way. It was just a perfectly flat expanse that was right next to the trail. We could reach out and put our hands on the trail from where we were. But it was just epic. It's such a good flat spot. We looked at the stars, we slept in, and we still hit everything that we needed to that next day. It was awesome. Well, but crazy. Just an unnamed spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Beautiful. All right. Now, so you depart, are you departing tomorrow? You have another zero tomorrow to rest the hip.
I'm going to take one more day tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a slow start up here for me, but it's kind of been nice. I was dragging my feet a little bit getting started out here because it was a pretty quick transition. Finished the PCT last Tuesday. I traveled all day Wednesday and then I was hiking here on Thursday. So it was a pretty quick turnaround. And then I got out here and I kind of dragged my feet. I hung out at the lodges a long time. And then I finally got going yesterday and then hurt myself. And then when I couldn't hike, I started feeling like I really need to hike now. So I think it's helped to kind of light a fire under me for getting going on this bit because it's kind of daunting to do all the miles and then start over at mile zero on another trail again. It's tough. So I'm feeling inspired and stoked to get going more than just a sense of duty, but an actual feeling of like, I'm excited to get hiking again. So I think one more day I'll be feeling really fresh and I'll start flying down south.
Nice. If you can keep that attitude, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. Being able to keep a positive mental health headspace is everything.
Now, a subset of what you're doing this year is the calendar year Triple Crown. You're by the time you're finished, you'll have done the PCT, the AT, and the CDT. What advice for anybody out there who's considering attempting the calendar year Triple Crown? What advice would you give them? What kind of planning or logistics should they be paying attention to?
Yeah, good question. I think it's really important to just be super flexible. Obviously, I was really gung-ho about wanting to go and do all the trails straight through. I hate having to jump around and skip sections and everything. But it just got to a point when I was out on the AT, it just didn't make sense to try to start in the desert and set myself up for failure, that I could save that chunk for later. The desert's going to be hikeable way later than like Colorado is going to be. And so being okay with it not going the way that you want it to is definitely important. I think finding time and places to look forward to along the way is really important, of letting yourself have a hotel night in a town or something, or have friends coming out to meet you. And then tell your friends that are coming to meet you that it's going to be hard to line up and they're going to need some grace with that. I've had to message people a lot and say, hey, I thought it was going to be 6 o'clock today, but it's going to be more like 10:30 PM tomorrow. And then everyone's been great, or at least to me, at least what they've said to me, they've been really nice about it. So making sure people that are coming out to support you can be flexible. And then I think it's also important to let yourself have rest at times, to take some zeros. And it's really important to let your body rest and to have those things to look forward to also, if it's once every 3 weeks or once every month or however it is that you do it. But allowing yourself time to take off and knowing that you've earned it and that you need it. And just making sure you still get breaks.
Now, do you have any sponsors that are helping you out there? I mean, you are doing something pretty incredible out there. I would be surprised if you don't have some kind of backing by some wilderness or outdoor adventure type sponsors.
Yeah, I do. I've got some companies that are helping me out. Some that are called sponsorships, some that I don't know if there's a title to it or if it's just people helping me out with stuff. So Alabama Outdoors has been awesome. The company I was working for, they've been great at helping me get some of the gear I've needed and also helping me out with shoes. I'm also on the Ultra Red team this year, and so they're helping me out with shoes. And then a local company to Knoxville called Alt Route Meals. That's really great. Zolio has been really awesome. They're my my satellite communicator that I use. That one's been really great. That's kind of an up and coming one. And then I've had a lot of help from Chris with Light AF that does the packs and the fanny packs and everything over there. And then my buddy Jolly from Jolly Gear that does the shirts. So great support on the gear end. It's been awesome. Oh, and then the Trek also. The Trek's been helping me out.
Yes. I remember seeing you post on the Trek. I think I reached out to you after I saw an article there that you had written.
Yeah. I that was my first place that I kind of announced that I was going to do this trip in March of last year.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many pairs of shoes does it take to walk the International AT and everything but 800 miles of the PCT and Glacier? How many shoes have you gone through this season?
Yeah, I just had pair number 13 sent to me a couple days ago.
Wow.
So I'm running low on pair number 12 right now.
Okay. It's getting a little noisier there. People kind of emerging from dinner or something out there, or getting ready for bed, or looking at the stars.
I think that's the case. Yep. People rolling in. We got some tents being set up here. That's what's going on.
Okay. Hey, Prof, you know where we are?
I think that I probably do, but why don't you introduce it?
Okay.
The pro tip insight of the week.
That's right, Half Calf. It's time for the pro tip. Time for Prof to share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. What do you have for us?
Okay, so I'm a big gear guy. I love gear. I love talking gear. I think it's important to note and recognize, I guess I'll say kind of two things. So, because for one, I think there's a lot of very good gear. I don't think there's much of the best of anything. I think there are like 20 or 30 good backpacks out there that are fantastic. And then same with down jackets and quilts and all this stuff. And so I love like doing the research and finding stuff out as much as the next person, but I've gotten to where I just like playing around with different stuff. So there's tons of good gear out there. There's not the best thing. There might be something that works better for one person than another in some areas, but I think there's a lot of gear that is very good gear. And so it's just kind of figuring out what works best for each individual person. But just, yeah, lots of gear is very good gear.
Okay. There's a lot available out there. You don't have to be too picky, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Professor. I want to thank him for joining us this week. Prof, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media? Where can they find updates on your current adventure?
Yeah, it's all on Facebook and Instagram, but it's the same thing getting posted from Instagram to Facebook. So it's easiest just to follow it on Instagram. And that is prof_Carl. So prof_Carl.
Okay. Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Any TikTok account there, Prof?
Not yet. I am very hesitant to pick up another social media thing. I think
it's a lot, right? It's a lot.
Yeah.
And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
Prof, I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some kind of outdoor adventure media to keep our listeners connected to the outdoors. We're calling this our Adventure Media Recommendation. What do you have for us?
Yeah, it's something I have not read yet, but I have gotten really excited about it. I just met a new friend here named Pacer, who's also from the Knoxville area. He and his friend Nancy East set the fastest known time of hiking all the miles in the Smokies a few years ago. And I had heard about them through an episode of Backpacker Radio that the Trek put out, because Nancy East gave an interview there and she wrote a book about it, about that experience. And I think the title is called like Chasing the Smokies Moon, or something like that. So I'm not totally sure on the title. I have not read it yet, but I'm really excited to. It's the book by Nancy East about her and my friend Pacer, Chris Ford, setting the fastest known time, hiking all the miles of the Smokies. So as a Smokies native and local, I'm stoked to give a shout out to a really cool adventure done through there.
That sounds incredible. You have to read it and give us a review.
Yeah, I definitely will when I come back next time.
That's right. And you're currently setting the FKT for 10,500 miles.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, right? That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
What have we not asked you?
All right. Before we wrap things up, one more segment for you called What Have I Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What did we miss tonight?
Oh, man, that's a good question, Doc. Oh, I think something that might have come up but didn't because you changed your hiking pole format is what hiking changes have I made since doing this year that's different than previous years. So I've done it before and I'd kind of forgotten about it and then got back into it. I've become a huge proponent of cowboy camping. I've been super into that this year. So I've still got my tent just because I was worried about bugs a little bit in Oregon, but I've become I'm all over the cowboy camping bandwagon. I'm super into it. It's great to just roll up and plop down at the end of the day. I'm doing that. I've kind of done a hybrid with cooking also. I still have my stove. I still usually cook during a stretch, but almost always the first night I'm packing out my dinner from town, like a sandwich or something, so I can save myself one night of cooking just to save on time. So I'm still not so crazy. I've gotten rid of my stove. I still have it out there, but I usually do one or sometimes two nights on a stretch where I've just got a sandwich or something cold that I eat, just to be able to save time in, at the end of the day like that.
That's great. Now of the 238 nights, approximately how many have you done cowboy camping?
Well, I hadn't done any until I got to the PCT because, just the wet nature of the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
But on the PCT, I was in my tent maybe five nights out of the 60 I was out there. You know, and then I was indoors for a few of those nights too. So probably like somewhere between 40 and 50 nights I was cowboy camping, and the 60 I was on the PCT.
Fantastic. All right. Hey, that's a wrap from the John Freakin' Muir studio. Any shout outs to friends and family, Carl, including some of your hostel mates there.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, just like my family, my sister has been my logistics coordinator this year. That's been awesome. my parents, my grandparents, all my extended family are super stoked about the trip this year. They're all really supportive. The crew here at the hostel has been awesome. Big shout out to Luna here at Luna's Place in East Glacier. My hiking buddies I spent the most time with, Grease Pig, Boogie, Sunshine, Airdrop, everyone else I've gotten to meet and hike with, if it's been a few miles or the better part of a day. Yeah, just still lots of great people to meet out here on trails. And it feels like I'm starting to get to where I am just like maybe one person removed from everybody that's through hiking right now. It feels great.
Incredible. Hey, Carl, I'm in awe of what you're doing out there. I'm a big fan. I want to wish you the best of luck on the rest of your trip this year. I'll be following along. I'll be messaging you occasionally to check in and see how things are going. But all the best luck out there, buddy.
Sounds great, Doc. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your support since the beginning of investing in me and bringing me on the podcast when this was a dream that was 9 months out. And now I'm over halfway into it. Woohoo.
All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Always remember, the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you're off trail at dusk in the middle of a bunch of wild pig hunters in Florida. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck. We'll be right back.